So tonight I want to speak on the topic, smartphone master or slave. Smartphone master or slave. And it's a topic that I think is important to speak on. It's one that affects all of us. I, first of all, want to give some specifics. First of all, I was asked to speak on this topic when I was in New Zealand. And I want to preface by saying I don't pretend to be a smartphone expert or how it is affecting us as a people or as a culture. But I had been putting some time, even before I was asked, for future messages here, and some of this will come up in our upcoming parenting series. We'll address some of these issues in a different way. But tonight I wanted to just take some time to talk about our use of smartphones. And I'm just so you know, I'm using one right here to time me. It at least gives me numbers to look at and hopefully keeps me somewhere in the vicinity of the time that I allot myself here. And then hopefully I just don't ignore it too long afterwards. So this is not an anti-smartphone kind of a lecture. It's not an anti, I don't have a Luddite mentality towards technology. The term Luddite came into existence during the Industrial Revolution when Luddites didn't want any kind of industrialization of the culture, the society. They believed that it was going to be better if we left things how they were, more agrarian in nature. And so they resisted kind of any kind of advancements in technology. There are religious groups and people that still are Luddite to a degree, but oftentimes it's simply a certain many years behind the times. It's not really truly Luddite in nature. But that's not how we are. That's not what I believe. But I do believe that smartphones are having an effect upon us as a culture and as a society that is both good and bad. And it's something that we need to think about of how it is affecting us. So tonight, again, just as a reminder, if you're here and you're new with us, normally I open up the Bible and I begin by reading scripture and then we launch into the messages and I focus on Bible exposition. But tonight is going to be a little bit different in this way. But I want to begin with a scripture that would have application in many ways to all of the Christian life. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. Let all things be done decently and in order. All things is pretty inclusive. And the word decently and the word order has to do with both in a beautiful way and in an orderly way, like a military brigade on parade. So we want to do things in our life decently, in a beautiful way, and in order. In the word is taxis. We want to do it in an orderly fashion and have some order to our life. But we live in a very unique time in the history of the world when it comes to the advancement of technology. Would you agree with that? I'm gonna ask for a little bit of back and forth tonight. We're going to have Q&A time at the end. If you have any questions, I want to have them brought up. This advancement affects nearly every sphere of life, and all of us, no matter how much we want to deny it, are affected by it in both a positive and negative ways. The technological advance has affected all of us in both positive and negative ways. In the past 10 years, a particular technology came in like a tsunami that first hit the shores as a normal wave, but then never returned back to the sea. It just kept coming over the land until it overwhelmed the entire globe. That phenomenon that I speak of is the invention of the smartphone. You might say that there's been other technologies that have revolutionized the world in a more significant way, say the automobile or the airplane. But the reality is all of those things were precursors to technology like the smartphone that has had a greater and a more significant effect in its globalization in the time period of which it has been in existence, 10 years, than any other kinds of technology that has ever come into existence. if you, this probably without reading about it, if on a graph you were to look at how technology affects things, like the making of the first automobile, it was a very novel thing. It was a very unique thing that few people had. Until the Henry Ford made it an assembly line and the ability to mass produce automobiles, even then it was still for people that had more means or substance. It was not something that everybody in the world just automatically had. It was many years before people, the average person, had an automobile. And in fact, it was in the 1950s, it was a rare thing for a family to have two automobiles. And most of us would say it's a requirement for life to have two automobiles. It's how we operate. It's how we function. Many of us maybe have in our families more than two automobiles, potentially because of the size of our family or the fact that we have extra vehicles. This technology did affect things, but on a graph, it would look like a kind of a slow-going hill. With the technology of the smartphone, it came on the scene, and even though at the very beginning there were people that oohed and awed, there were other people that kind of downplayed it and said, this isn't going to go anywhere, this isn't going to have any footing, it's going to die quickly, and they were completely wrong. On a graph, the change of 10 years in smartphones is like a straight up, like going straight up a peak of a mountain as far as technological change that's happened in the culture. It was Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple, co-founder of Apple, that stood on a platform 10 years ago and said, this is an iPhone. He didn't say this one was. This was the original iPhone. And he said, this is technology like you've never had before. And he was right in so many ways. It was going to be a device that you would hold in your pocket that would have more computer power than that which was on the Apollo 13 mission to go to outer space. It was a device that would be able to be touched with your finger instead of having a stylus or some other device to function with it. It was going to have this functionality that would become almost a part of you. And that was just 10 years ago. Before that, through an iPod, the music industry was radically changed. But even now, iPods are out of date and really have lost their market share because everything you could do on an iPod, you could do on a phone, but now you can call on that device as well and do many other things. What may have been seen by some as a novel device that wouldn't make a very big impact has become possibly the most impactful technology impacting human existence around the world in history. Most every one of the adults in the room tonight would say you probably have an iPhone. Now, there may be people that have a flip phone, have they're holdouts, or they just choose not to have the talk. This is not a negative about that. This is not saying to get with the time. It's just a reality. Most people in the day and age that we live in now have a smartphone. In fact, you can go to the jungles or the savanna lands of Africa, and if there is a cell tower, there are people with smartphones. They have been connected in a way that they have never been connected before. And in many of those things, it is a positive thing. But think about it. Only 10 years. And many of us not only have smartphones, we can't imagine life without them. How many of you have gotten, 10 miles away from the house and in a panic and a sweat, you have realized you've left your phone? Now think about that. 10 years ago, leaving your phone was leaving your phone. I mean, it was maybe you had a cell phone. You had the hip technology of the Trio back then. It was the precursor to the smartphone. It was a kind of smartphone. Or maybe you had the BlackBerry and you could text, and that was a huge advancement. But the smartphone as we know it today totally changed and revolutionized even from that technology. But if you go back 20 years ago, very few people even had a cell phone. Like, kids, understand, many of you weren't even alive 10 years ago. You have never known a world without parents who lived like this. You never knew a time where around the dinner table, people were texting each other. You never saw cat videos from YouTube. 20 years ago, very few people even had a cell phone. The internet was just coming online for more and more people to get it. And the hippest, hottest technology then on the internet was chat rooms. Social media didn't exist 20 years ago. MySpace, the first one to come on the scene, didn't come into existence till several years after, 20 years ago. In fact, the change has happened rapidly. When I was growing up, we had these phones that were connected to walls with long cords. Mothers were very talented, fathers less so. My mom was amazing with a phone. It was a long phone, yellow phone with the cord. 80 miles long. I mean, you could walk through the kitchen, you could, you know, walk guillotine, get cut off, wrapped around the cord, fall to the ground, you know, those kinds of things. They were capable with that phone before smartphones ever existed. They could do all kinds of things and have that phone attached to them. But that was a very different technology. That was one person talking to one person over a voice line. And they had to be at a stationary location. Now, you can be practically anywhere and talk to people all over the planet. And you can send them, now think about this, you can take a picture and push a button and send a picture like with wings that flies through the air somehow and lands on other people's phones. And we take it as commonplace, and it is, if you start actually thinking about what's happening, it's technology that boggles the mind. Not only can you send voices across the airwaves, but you can send words across the airwaves. You can send pictures across the airwaves. Some of you are like, this is not a math genius. This is not a scientist up here. You're right. I understand that. I'm saying all of us should marvel at the technology and the advancement that has taken place. It is truly amazing. Smartphones have an amazing potential for impact, and I would say this is very important to realize, in both directions of good and evil. Good ways and bad ways, smartphones can affect us. And today I want to begin, or tonight I want to begin the discussion by asking the question for your own life, is your smartphone your master or your servant? Is it something that rules over you, controls you, and yes, the information, the data, the research reveals that very much like drug addiction, people can't stop touching their phones. It affects the same parts of the brain that drugs do. You have to ask, is it a servant to you, or has your phone become your master that controls you? Now, I want to state again very clearly, this is not an anti-smartphone lecture or lesson. This is one that wants to help us to have awareness and thinking about how we use smartphones and how they might use us. Smartphones are not only lawful, but can be used profitably. And I don't use that in a legal way. I mean, as a Christian, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Can I ask you a question in this regard? Smartphones being lawful as they are you coming under the power of it in such a way that you cannot control your life? You are being controlled even by the technology of your phone. When you can't live without it. You say, well, I find it very helpful. I like different parts about the smartphone, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. And I agree with you. I'm meaning it is in the way that it has become so controlling that like an addict that can't stop going to the drugs or going to whatever their vice is, you can't stop touching your phone. You might think, well, that sounds kind of funny. Did you know that today most teenagers in studies are found that they sleep with their phone? They keep it under their pillow or next to them in bed. Smartphones need to be something that are talked about and that have guidelines in our homes. There are a lot of dangers that need to be clearly addressed for both fathers and mothers and youth as well as children. Again, 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Paul also says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not or build not up. So this is something that maybe even if you want to think about this with regards to the use of your phone or the kinds of things you have on your phone, ask yourself, is this particular app or particular function or particular social media edifying me, building me up, or is it tearing me down? The scripture says, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. It's metaphorically speaking, right? But in this case, with regards to the use of our phones, if our phones are being used in our life to pursue evil things, then take the steps necessary to cut that off, even if that's just an area of that phone that needs to be addressed or locked down and somebody else keep you accountable and hold the security code. By the way, that's one positive, and I've never used an Android, and this is not an advertisement, but one of the things that I love about iPhones is that it is the most, from what I've researched, it's the very, very much the most parental friendly as far as all the things that you can shut down and regulate with regards to ratings and things of that nature that can be helpful as a parent and even helpful for you as an adult. Now, I want to ask you a question. How much do you think you live on your smartphone? Let me ask it a different way. How many times, and I want some people to participate, how many times do you think you touch your smartphone every day? 100 times. Okay? 500 times. Zero. Who said zero? We have 100, we have 500, we have zero. Couple thousand. 250? Okay. Let me read to you from a report that came not from people answering questions, but from the actual metadata of the smartphone with people that were participating in this. Normal surveys are considered very accurate when you get 1,000 people or more. This survey had 100,000 users, ranging in age from 18 to the 50s, and half men, half women. It was a very broad-based survey, and it didn't include, who are often the heaviest users, teenagers. Okay? The average user used their phone, touched their phone, touches, swipes, taps 2,617 times a day. The average user. That's averaging 145 minutes a day. Time. Metadata, not people saying, I think I use it this many times. Metadata meaning underneath what's being recorded and how many times you're touching your phone, 2,617 average daily touches. For the heaviest users, the top 10% average interactions doubled to 5,427 touches a day. Per year, that's 1 million touches on average. And 2 million for the less restrained among us, it says. Now think about that. Think about in life. Think about anything you touch 2 million times a year and the impact that's having on you and the impact you could have on someone else. Think about how many, you know what the stats are? Do you think the stats are anywhere close to the amount of time the average parent spends with a child per day? It's minutes of impact. Think of the touch of a hand to a device versus the touch of a hand to another human being and what that does to people. This report from 100,000 users says, we are definitely letting our fingers do the walking, and they're doing marathons. Each tap and swipe feels small and harmless, just a tiny fraction of our brain power and physical effort. But at these volumes, have the interactions become an onerous load. Phone screen time, just phone screen time, not TV screen time, not computer screen time, just phone screen time for the average user was 2.42 hours per day, and for the heavy users, 3.75 hours per day, just on the phone. You're like, well, it's all for business purposes, right? This is all for productivity. This is all for doing, you know, important work, like emails and things like that that you have to do for work. You think so? 15%. Who wants to guess where it goes? The top app, 15% of all metadata traffic touches, taps, swipes, goes to what? Facebook. 15%. Messages, text messaging, 11%. Things like Messenger, Instagram. Now, this is 1 year old. This is 2016, so this is like way out of date in 10 years. This is less than a year old, but it's out of date. Instagram, 3%. Messenger, Facebook, 3%. WhatsApp, 3%. Chrome, 5%. Twitter, 1%. There's several. YouTube, 1%. Things of that nature. Now you think about that, and you think about how much time we're using our phones. You say, well, that's certainly not me. You know what they asked in this? When the question was asked, how much time do you think you use the phone? Probably 150 times a day. This is not, by the way, just so you understand, this is not, you know, conservative Christianity's survey. This is D-Scout. This is metadata research, putting a finger on our phone obsession. How much do you think you use your phone? And how much time do you think you say you don't have to spend in things that matter even more than touching your phone? You say phones have valuable uses. I'm going to deal with that. I'm going to share some of those valuable uses. I'm saying, but the metadata says most of the time isn't on that, which is really what we could say is the most valuable uses. Now, it has some use because people can monetize Facebook and things of that nature. But please understand, a lot of this is just time being spent, frittered away, and I'm guilty. And how much time do we oftentimes convince ourselves we don't have time to read a good book that would encourage us and help us to grow? We don't have time to read our Bibles or spend time with our kids reading to our children. We use a lot of excuses, but maybe it's the 2.5 hours per day we're using just touching our phones. Or maybe if you're the heavy user, 3 hours and 3.75 hours. Nearly three and three quarters hours per day. Now, what are some positive uses? I want to bring this to a positive before we look at the dangers. Smartphone positive uses. Communication. We have the ability to communicate globally. I can text missionaries that you used to have to send a letter to long form and then take it, you know, a couple of months to get there. It's a beautiful thing. You can communicate instantly. You can do it even more instantly than email. And I have several missionaries that I am able to communicate with on a fairly regular basis because of a smartphone. Not just missionaries, but family members. I now have kids that live in Canada and Iowa. You know, you like to talk to them. So we can send little video clips or we can send text messages, and it's there in an instant. And it at least gives some sense of being connected in that regard. Commerce is big. Commerce is something that is being done on smartphones and computers and iPads and all the technology. There's another lecture I did on social media and its uses. And obviously there are, again, a lot of pitfalls and dangers. But in today's business world, social media is a platform for livelihoods. Now, sometimes you might find this becomes annoying or difficult, especially if everyone in your Facebook, you know, stratosphere has a business they're promoting and it's constantly coming around. But the reality is that's part of the modern business model, and it's not going anywhere, right? Now, this is something that obviously they're doing more in social media to kind of separate your personal kind of social media and your business platform social media, and that kind of helps you to kind of decipher between the two. Calendars. How many of you like your calendar being on your phone? All right. I do. My life is calendar driven and appointment driven. Some of you may go to a job where you just go and you do your job and you're not driven by appointments and calendar, so it may be less important to you. But for those that have many appointments throughout the week, it's vitally important that they keep have that phone. Email. love it, hate it, leave it, like I did and had thousands of emails to get caught up on, many of which were just junk, but then there's always those emails that are important. It's an amazing thing to be able to send a letter form to somebody or to send an email. Now, some people, if you understand email usage, there's a lot of people that say emails should be 3 lines long, and that's for communication and business. Okay? Maps. My wife is not here to attest to this, but she loves having a map on her phone that says, turn left, go right. Right? Turn around, you person. I was trying to think of a nice way to say dumb driver, but make a U-turn as soon as possible. I still remember the very first vehicle I rode in was actually, we were with Elsa Finley in their Lincoln Navigator in Seattle, and it kept saying, make a U-turn as soon as possible on Alaskan Way, Alaskan Way. It's like, I don't think it's Alaskan, but, you know, we might fund Wonderland here somewhere. Right? So, Alaskan Way. The technology has just advanced. Now, all that you used to have a big, you know, expensive GPS on your, now you have that in your pocket. It's mind-boggling and very helpful. Now, I am naturally, as men, and this sounds stereotypical, and it's not always the case, but it is stereotypical, and it is true. A lot of times men don't want to look at a map. They're like, I know where I'm going, okay? And they have an internal GPS, and usually I do a pretty good job getting there to the place that I need to go to. But I do still use maps on occasion. News. Great place for news. You don't, I still get a couple newspapers delivered to the house. I still like having a newspaper, but it's very convenient to have the news on your phone. And so oftentimes I don't look at the newspaper that's in print, and I get the one on the phone. Music. You have, if you used to collect records, like long play records, maybe you still do because they're kind of hip and they're popular right now. It's very trendy amongst the urban elite and very trendy amongst the hipsters to have, you know, record collections and stuff like that. But you know what? Now I have hundreds, probably thousands of songs right here on my phone. I can play them anytime I want to. That the iPod before the iPhone revolution, it absolutely changed one of the most influential industries on the planet, the music industry, both financially and what it and the messaging that it includes, revolutionized an entire industry with an iPod, and that was even astronomically changed more when the iPhone and smartphones came into being. Now, musicians, artists that never have a contract, they oftentimes, through their own propagation and social media, promote their own music, and they make a living in their own homes just by selling their music online. Audiobooks. I love audiobooks. The internet, entertainment can be done in moderate usage and can be a good diversion as long as it's not something you live for, right? We don't want to entertain ourselves to death, but there can be times where we can use that portion of leisure to enjoy something. But smartphones, they have many positive uses. They really do. Somebody, tell me some of the things tonight, just shout it out, something that you love to use your phone for. Camera. How did I miss? I did this when I did this lecture in New Zealand. I forgot camera, and I failed to remember that. The New York Times, a very famous photographer, I can't remember her name, she was asked on national TV, what is her most important camera? And immediately she said, my iPhone. Because it's always with me, and I can capture moments where before you have gear and all that stuff you can't capture. It's an excellent camera. Okay? What else? Devotionals. Vocabulary. I love my dictionary on my phone. Oh, flashcards. Weather. Right? People that love to watch the weather. Right? Some people go outside and say, ah, yeah, it's cloudy. And other people look and say, it's there, it's cloudy. No, I'm just teasing. My wife loves the weather, too. Podcast. How many of you like to podcast? All right, many of you. There's a lot of great things that we can do with our phones. This is really a technological gift if used wisely. I get audio podcasts and news and sermons and a wide variety of things, and they feed you, and especially if you get good ones, they feed you some profitable things and use time that you might be commuting to work and things of that nature. Now, are there dangers with smartphones? Absolutely. Now, just like when the internet came into being, the two most, and this is not the point of this lecture, but the internet, the two most used things on the internet were like Christian resources and pornography, as far as volume. That's a telling sign about technology and how it can be used for both good and evil. But there are dangers with smartphones that are inherent besides just looking at something that may be inappropriate or involving in something that may be inappropriate. There are actual psychological or emotional, mental health kinds of issues that are coming to the surface with regards to smartphone use that cause great dangers in people's lives, especially in young people. You might think if you get the smartphone of your dreams, it is going to be what makes you happy. But the reality is teenagers and smartphones are sadder than they ever have been before. I have a couple of articles. Now these are from very, if you know these, you'll laugh when I say that. These are from very conservative journals, The New Yorker and The Atlantic. All right? I'm wanting to say that just to make a point. You might say, what's this pastor, no, I don't know as much as a lot of people, but what I'm saying is this is not just something that as a Christian pastor, I'm saying be concerned about these. The research that I've looked at and these different essays that I've read, they're from people who I don't know if they're Christian or not, but they're writing for very much social kinds of even liberal-leaning journals and things of that nature. And they're all crying the same thing. Smartphones are inherently dangerous to people, not just youth. One of the authors I heard in a debate one time, and his name is Andrew Sullivan, and he's a tremendous writer, and he's a very liberal individual, and I don't mean that just politically, socially, his way of thinking is not necessarily the same as where I might look at different things, and yet he made some profound points. He even went to a monastery and gave up all phones and tried to get his life back. He was a massive blogger, had a huge following and writing. He says, and he starts out the article. This is the title: "I used to be a human being. An endless bombardment of news and gossip and images has rendered us manic information addicts. It broke me. It might break you too." That's just the beginning. That's his headline for his article. And he goes through in many profound things that he talks about in his essay about the effects of how the phone and how the instant, not just the phone, but the phone connected with social media. It's like weaponizing social media. It's with you constantly, and it is an endless bombardment of information stream, especially if you have all of your notifications on. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. If you have all of your notifications on, you're going to be constantly bombarded. And they say that each and every interruption like that takes you several minutes to get back on track. But if you're constantly being bombarded, several minutes to get back on track to thinking about things deeply, maybe your devotions or maybe your work that you're doing that you have to think through. It takes you away from it, and it takes a while to get back into it. This journal, by the written for The Atlantic, have smartphones destroyed a generation. More comfortable online than out partying, post-millennials are safer physically than adolescents have ever been, but they're on the brink of a mental health crisis. And here, this author, Jean Twinge, she has many profound things to say in this article about depression and suicide rates, particularly amongst young teenage girls, because of the social construct that's made within social media on the phone. People are living in their bedrooms, Teenagers are living in their bedrooms, but they're wanting to be a part of things socially, and there's social bullying, and there's people that are being left out when they do have social events, and because their pictures aren't on the social media with their friends, they're purposely being identified as not being with them, and it's like a take that kind of an attitude. I'll read a couple of quotes from there in just a few minutes. Smartphones have dangers. Here's what Gene Twinge wrote in The Atlantic. The advent of the smartphone and its cousin, the tablet, was followed quickly by a hand-wringing about the deleterious effects of screen time, the negative effects of screen time. But the impact of these devices has not been fully appreciated and goes far beyond the usual concerns about curtailed attention spans. The arrival of the smartphone has radically changed every aspect of a teenager's lives, from the nature of their social interaction to their mental health. These changes have affected young people in every corner of the nation and in every type of household. The trends appear among teens poor and rich, of every ethnic background, in cities and suburbs and small towns. Where there are cell towers, there are teens living their lives on their smartphones. That's a tragic statement. And she brings up many things in this journal article about how teens today are not even getting out into actual social interaction. They have all kinds of social media connections, but they're not doing things with people. The average senior hire today gets out less socially than an eighth grader of 10 years ago. Now you think about this, there's a significant difference between those, because a senior in high school typically would have a driver's license, have the ability to have independence, but they're not doing that. One of the things that they show in the data is that teenagers aren't desiring the kind of independence that it used to be normal, like a want to grow up and to get a driver's license and be able to have some freedom, some independence. I'm not saying all that's good. I'm just saying that this is how it has been. Now, many of them that are in college are having to be forced to actually get their driver's license because they have no need to go out and do things with actual people because they do it in their bedroom. Our book of the month a couple months ago, I think it was in July, was 12 Ways Your Phone Is Changing You by Tony Rinke. He mentioned 12 things. I'm just going to list them off here. Maybe you read the book, maybe you didn't, maybe you should. He said, these are the chapter headings. We are addicted to distractions. This is a danger. We're addicted to being distracted. One of the things highlighted in the article, and you might say, this is a good thing. No one's ever bored anymore. Youth, if they have a smartphone or not, you don't hear them say, I'm bored, because they'll entertain themselves forever. Say, is boredom good? Yes! Doing things is better. We ignore our flesh and blood. How many people do you see out to dinner? Families all around, people talking. They're just busy. Just doing on dates, on vacations, living the same life they always live because their phone. We crave immediate approval. We crave immediate approval. We post a picture, and like we're looking 2 seconds later. Has anybody liked it? Like, I want to know. Well, then you just posted it. But yeah, but I want to know, and I want to know who was first. Ding! We lose our literacy. People aren't reading. They can't focus long enough even to read. I printed this off just for the sake of, no, it's printed off pretty large, but I printed this off just before coming over here. And this is a long form essay, and it's 22 pages of large font printed off. It's not that many pages in the actual journal, but people don't have the attention span to actually read something like that. But life is more than just tweets. There are things that are more important than just what you can put in 140 characters. And we're essentially losing our literacy, dumbing down our culture, because we can't read. We don't have the attention span. We feed on the produce. We want to see things that are entertaining us. We become like what we like. This is not new, but it just happens more rapidly, right? We have a desire to be accepted. So we post pictures and we tag it with a certain taglines because we want to be in a certain group. We want to be liked by the things that we like and we want to be accepted in that group. It's a certain kind of, you could say, click mentality. And I don't mean click as in a mouse. I mean click, we don't use this anymore. Click mentality by being engaged or included in a group, even on social media. We get lonely. It's one of the chapters. We get lonely. Say, why would you be lonely when you have connectivity to everyone? Because it's not real human beings. You can touch something a million times a year, and if it's not a real person, it's not going to give you the same kind of connection. I could send my child a text message. Now, that's hypothetical. I could only send Nathaniel a text message because... What's that? Well, I'm talking about the ones that are still in the house. I could send Nathaniel or Daniel a text message. And I could send him one every day. That could be encouraging. But what if I sent him a text message every day, but he lived in my house and I never spoke to him? What if I tweeted 140 characters about my son every day and he saw that, and every day I didn't spend 140 characters of words impacting his life? I didn't have any time to say, hey son, how's it going today? Tell me about what's going on. What's life been having for you? What you been reading? A lot of books, huh? Keep enough reading in books? Noticed any young ladies out there with good godly character? All right. Right? Now let me ask you a question. How many of you think texting your children, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but how many of you think that'll have more effect than me actually spending time talking to my child? Now think about if your relationships with your children or with your spouse become completely technological, or even your children's relationships with their other companions or friends becomes only technological, and there's no embrace, there's no spending time with one another, there's no encouraging, there's no, you know, guys getting together to go adventure somewhere or wrestle around, there's no group of girls getting together to actually spend time with one another doing something that they might find enjoyable, because they're not doing that. They're just getting lonely in their rooms. And adults are getting lonely. We get comfortable, number eight, we get comfortable in secret vices. It's the sins of man, the struggles that man faced, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life are unchanged throughout human history. But the accessibility to different kinds of sin has changed. Right? And secret vices can be pursued in the anonymity of a smartphone with ease, in the privacy of your room, the bathroom, the car, wherever you might be. It's everywhere you are. We lose meaning, number nine. We lose meaning in life. There's a disconnect even though we're ultra connected. We fear missing out, like something is going to happen that we didn't know about that was posted 10 minutes ago. So I got to check again. Refresh. We know this to be true. We're living in this culture. We become harsh to one another. We're not harsh online. We're not harsh on social media. I mean, maybe some, you're right. Sometimes people are very harsh on social media, but maybe our persona is this, you know, images of bliss. Like everybody's having these perfect devotions. At least their devotions are revealing that they have their Bible out with a cup of coffee and the perfect sunlight coming through the window, and they're taking the snapshot to say, oh, wow, aren't they surely walking with God? Now, maybe they are, or maybe they just want to look like they are. Now, if you've posted those pictures of Bible verse and stuff, I probably have too. My point is this. If it's an image you're going for, that's what you're trying to present to the world or to your friends. And then you turn around and you're harsh to one another in real life. It's really not profitable. And then lastly, he says we lose our place in time. Do you know how easy it is? We thought 100, 500, 1,000 times. You know how easy it is to lose time, our place in time on our phones? You ever get on social media on your phone or your computer and you realize, wow, a half an hour just went by. I got to get busy. Probably. There's dangers of smartphones that go far beyond too much screen time. Kind of the scientists are like, hey, what, the blue light's bad for your eyes. All this. That's the least of your worries. Sleep deprivation is common amongst young people in particular. The article in the Atlantic highlights this. With sleep deprivation comes compromised thinking and reasoning, susceptibility to illnesses, weight gain, high blood pressure, anxiety, moodiness, and depression. It's impacting us. Jean Twenge again wrote, and she uses a phrase here that I'll give a brief explanation to the younger people. It says, even when a seismic event, a war, a technological leap, a free concert in the mud, i.e. Woodstock, plays an outsized role in shaping a group of young people, no single factor ever defines a generation. Parenting styles continue to change, as do school curricula and culture, and these things matter. But the twin rise of the smartphone and social media has caused an earthquake of magnitude we've not seen in a very long time, if ever. There is a compelling evidence that the devices we've placed in young people's hands are having profound effect on their lives and making them seriously unhappy. Suicide rates are up drastically amongst teens, more so amongst teen girls than teen young men. Even on the peninsula in the last 10 years, you can think about different people that we read about in the news, teenagers that because other teens were cruel to them online and social media, took their own life. And what a travesty that is. Boys' depression symptoms increased by 21% from 2012 to 2015, while girls increased 50%, more than twice as much. The rise in suicide, too, is pronounced amongst girls. Although the rate increased in both sexes, three times as many 12 to 14-year-old girls killed themselves in 2015 as in 2017, compared with twice as many boys. The suicide rate is still higher for boys, in part because they use more lethal methods, but girls are beginning to close the gap. It's interesting, some of the things that they have in here. The homicide rate amongst teens has declined, but the suicide rate has increased. Because teens aren't with each other, there's less teenagers killing each other. That's a good thing, but it's not a good thing that they're killing themselves. Why is it that they are becoming so unhappy? Part of it is linked to the fact that night and day, they're on their phones. They're continually bombarded with messaging and images that makes them feel either good or bad. And I just want to encourage you, take a thoughtful look at how your phone use is and the phone use of your family. And then my personal opinion is I think we should really think twice about giving our children smartphones. I know I just became very popular right there with our teenagers. That's okay. This is I've been doing this a while, and before it was smartphones, it was something else that I made them unhappy with. I love you. That's why I would say these things. But it's something that people have convinced themselves now they have to have these. They just need them. Well, they need to be safe. We need to know for sure if they're all right. Where they're, we made it for generations upon generations and for generations. So let me give you some possible action points to close, and then we'll take some questions. Possible action points. This is not law, but wisdom. This is some principles. Okay? These are just some things, and some of these things are things that I am wanting to put into practice in my own family. So I'm not even saying that these are all things that we've nailed, we've got accomplished. If you found your smartphone is damaging relationships with people you love the most, then change your use. Ask honest and hard questions. Ask your spouse, is my time on my phone affecting our relationship? You might not like the answer. This is for men and ladies. How about your relationship with God? I find that in the technological rat race, there are a lot of distracting things that have affected my own personal relationship with the Lord, not always in a positive way. Even though there's all kinds of things that we can list as benefits, And I'm still going to use technology and a smartphone, but how is it affecting the way we have even our spiritual disciplines in our life? Is it affecting our relationship with God? If that's the case, do something drastic to restore the broken relationships in your life, be they with God or with others. Here's some practical ideas. Again, not law, but wisdom. Are we all on the same page? How about this? I dare you. Take Sunday as a weekly Sabbath from your smartphone. If you think, I'm not controlled by my phone, next Sunday, turn it off and don't use it. If you have an emergency, you can turn it on and use it. And you're going to find out how addicted you may be to your smartphone. You say, well, I have to have it. I'm on call. Okay, I'm not asking you to do something you can't do. I'm saying think of that as a possibility. Try a Sabbath, a day of rest from your technology. And this is to all of you. This is not picking on any one person. But we have a lot of very online savvy business entrepreneurs. Can I encourage you? Turn it off on Sunday. Shut it down. Take a day of rest, just like you would from a regular job. They'll be there tomorrow. They really will. Instead, focus on your family on Sunday. Focus on the Lord on Sunday. Turn all, this is not about Sunday, this is just in general. Turn all notifications off on your phone except the things that you absolutely need. For me, I have notifications for text messages. That's the best way, by the way, to get a hold of me, is either call me or text me. And those things that are absolutely necessary. So, well, I got to be informed. I got to know what's happening. Go to that when you actually have time and it's not going to interrupt what you're doing. It'll still be there. You might have little red notifications that come up, little, you know, digits that tell you whatever those things are called. There's a name for those. Instead of having to go bing, you can be in a conversation. You go out to coffee with somebody. And this has happened. So I want to say, like, I've had a lot of times text messages, but sometimes people, you can have Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, ding, bing, 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 bing. And by the time your half an hour coffee is done, all you've done is watch them look at your phone. You say, will you survive? You will survive. Not law, just an idea, a wisdom principle. Turn your smartphone into a very capable dumb phone. I got that idea from the website Lifehack. Have you ever read anything on Lifehack before? All right? Turn your smartphone into a very capable dumb phone. There's lots of people acknowledging smartphones have actually taken over my life. I need to get it back. They said it's a great camera. You can do the things you need. And they recommended, like, this is what they did to strip their phone down, have their apps I need for work, have their apps I need to function, you know, the maps and those kinds of things, make it a very practical tool and not a toy. And voila, you have a very capable, awesome camera, dumb phone. That may not be for you, but you could consider it. Turn it into a tool more than a toy. It is an amazing tool. But a toy takes your time away. And we're not to use all of our leisure time just to pursue entertainment. We're to use our leisure time to pursue growing. Growing in Christ, growing in relationships, doing things that matter. Consider limiting social media on your smartphone instead of accessing from your computer. This is something that I have chosen to do, and like I tell people, if you're trying to get a hold of me, don't send me a Facebook message because it may be a week before I actually get to that message. Consider having all smartphones in a central location in the home. Now, this is an idea. This is something that has been encouraged in many of the articles that I've read, and it's something that, I'll be honest with you, I am not yet doing, but my wife and I have been talking about it. Have a central location where you have, like, the phone charging station, and it's not there where you're instantly, like, I tried to take a nap this afternoon, and literally, bing, 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 and it's a reality. Like, we don't have to live that way. Please don't let your children have unfettered access to their phones at all hours of the day in the privacy of their rooms, etc. Just think about it for a minute. If your children have unfettered access to their phone, one author, Andrew Sullivan, said it's infinity in your pocket. The world at your fingertips. All the worst and the best. If your children have internet access on their phones, I think you're being negligent if it's unfettered and they're able to be in their room, in their privacy of their own room, and not have you know what's going on. I think that's negligent parenting. You wouldn't allow some stranger to come in your room at 2 a.m. and proposition your children. And yet at 2 a.m, they very well may be on your phone, their phone while you're asleep propositioning your children. It's happening all the time. In all different kinds of ways. It's not just something propositioning for some sexual thing. It could be just stealing their heart away, even in their way of thinking. Changing their worldview, changing the way they think about everything in life because they've gained a place of influence and because your child wants to be accepted and like what they want to be like what they like, then all of a sudden that influence is happening. Don't give that access to your children. Consider having dinner hour. At a minimum, a phone-free zone. Again, I'm guilty of this rule being broken at times. I've been trying to get better at it. It's dinner. Like, you say, dinner? We don't even eat dinner. Well, that's maybe another part of the problem. Like, eat dinner together and then don't use your phones there. These are just some ideas, some possible action items. All right? Now, I'm done, and this is an important subject. I've got another lecture on how to have a grace-paced life in a crazy, busy social media world. Again, I'm not saying throw your iPhone in the drink. I am saying be careful that it doesn't become your master instead of your servant.